Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. You can, we have 184 radio stations out there across the good old U.S. of A. And we thank you for listening to one of our radio stations. Also, Walker, we have people who listen on the internet at AFR.net, and we have a lot of folks who access our app, right?
That is correct. AFR.net. You can listen live there, AFR.net, on your computer or your cell phone. The other option that you mentioned is the American Family Radio application, or app, short for application. Download the app on your application store on your smartphone, and you can listen live wherever you are. We have a lot of folks who listen each day. Maybe they don't get our radio station, but they listen live to American Family Radio on their smartphone.
Yeah, I'm amazed some of the people who post on our Today's Issues Facebook page who watch the show or listen, and they're somewhere other than where we have a radio station. Mm-hmm. So we're thankful for those folks, too, because they make a really special effort to tune in to AFR, American Family Radio. All right, Steve Jordahl is with us, as he usually is, from 11:05 to 11:30 each weekday, except for Fridays. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I'm still waiting to be invited to be here on Friday.
Learning University.
Yeah.
You think you could be an adjunct professor?
I would. It would be fun. But yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind, Walker.
I'll write that down.
If Ed has to travel overseas to teach trivia to students in Russia, for example, and teach them
on behalf of President Trump.
Yes,
right.
And how to teach them, you know, learning how to collude.
Yeah.
Then Steve maybe could fill in.
There you go.
Like the green ties. That's seasonal. That's sort of Christmassy.
Kinda. No, it just goes with the shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, the shirt's a nice shirt, too.
Thank you.
Checkered shirt.
It wouldn't be very good for TV. I think the checkers are a little too close together. It would kind of skew the
blur. Kind of blur things.
It plays little close patterns.
But anyway, nice Christmas attire there.
Thank you.
All right, what do you have for us?
Well, breaking news, as of maybe about 10 minutes ago, the AP is reporting that the House and Senate have reached an agreement on the principles of a tax bill. As you know, separate bills passed both the House and the Senate, and they were in conference committee, which means they get together to hammer out differences and to negotiate what's going to actually be in the final bill that will be voted on, I guess. It was sent back to each of the chambers. The finished one will be sent back and then to the president's desk if it is voted in the affirmative. And they want to do this before Christmas. Frankly, I think they want to do it before Doug Jones gets to the Senate.
That's right.
But they are dickering over things like how much of a corporate tax rate is going to be there. They still were discussing last we heard. We don't know details about what the agreement they've reached is, but they were negotiating over a top tax rate for individuals. They were negotiating over certain deductions, including state and local tax deductions for the Democrat-run high-tax states that tax the heck out of people, and then the government is expected to kind of help them pick up the pieces after the Democrats get through taxing them to death.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the details. This stuff, and I know Dad's mentioned this before, this stuff gets over my head. The tax, all the lingo and stuff.
It can get in the weeds a bit.
Hundreds of pages of legislation. But I will say, generally, this better be good. You know, it may not be perfect from my standpoint, but it better be good because in 2018, the Republican senators will need to say, up for re-election, will need to say we passed tax reform, right. We confirmed Judge Gorsuch, etc. But if they kind of fumble this one and it turns out to not be very good, then it'll hurt their image in the election.
I think practically speaking, we won't know if it's good or bad by the time 2018 elections roll around. In other words, you'll have the Democrats saying it was the worst thing and it's killing people, and you have Republicans saying it's the best thing and everybody's going to be rich. But as far as the actual how it works when people fill out their taxes, they won't know that by then. Even I don't think it's going to take effect for the year 2018. I could be wrong about that, though. If they pass it by Christmas, does it affect what I file January or April 15th of next year? So, yeah, we might know a little bit more. At this point, we don't know much about the whole details. I'm always taken when they start talking about the top tax rate for the rich and the rich paying their fair share. I'm always taken with how much Democrats like to play the politics of envy. I don't know that I really care, frankly, personally, how much somebody that's making $15 million a year pays in taxes. I mean, the tax code, as it presently stands, is written in a way that you can take deductions, and the whole point of deductions is that you want to pay the least amount required. Nobody wants to give the government more of their money than they have to, and it just seems like it always, you know, you talk about fair share, the top 3% of the wage earners, of the income people, pay for a vast amount of the of the tax burden. They shoulder 40%, I think, of the tax burden. So they're paying more than their fair share. But that's just me. I would have loved to see tax reform like a flat tax.
Right. And many have proposed that. Yeah. Senator Cruz during the campaign proposed that.
Well, there is a real possibility. A lot of economists say that should this pass, and it looks like it probably will at this point, this tax reform package or whatever you call it, tax cuts or whatever, that it'll have a great effect on the economy. You know what I'm saying? Rocket fuel to the economy. That's what some are saying. Economies are doing pretty good right now.
It's moving right along.
Yeah, and President Trump's getting a lot of credit for that.
As well he should.
Yeah. So we'll stock market's doing really well, and so a lot of things are going positive on the job side, the economic side, and if this happens. If I were a Democrat, I'd vote against it.
They will. I mean, reflexively, I think they will.
Well, I'd vote against it for this reason. And I know I'm being cynical here, and politics is not cynical very often, is it, guys?
Never.
Like, I'm not being cynical here. Is that this has real potential to help the Republicans and President Trump in the next election cycle.
Right, right.
Should it be rocket fuel to the economy? Then you got a lot of people out there who basically look at jobs and the economy and money as their first reason to vote. And there's a lot of, probably most Americans would fall into that category.
Right.
And they would look favorably on the keeping up the Republican/Trump economic plan. So that for that reason, if I was a Democrat, I'd say the chances of that happening are good. So I need to vote no just to kill it so it doesn't look good on President Trump.
That seems to be the MO right now.
Well, we've moved beyond what's good for America anymore.
Right. I think what's good for the party.
That behind. Yeah.
What else you got, Steve?
I've been following a little bit, keeping an ear open to what's been happening in this House Intelligence Committee.
You got anything new? Because we talked about that last time.
I do. I have a couple things that you haven't heard yet. I've got two cuts that I'm going to play for you, and these were from Democrats on the committee. One is a someone just making a statement. The other thing is, well, you'll hear them both. I want to start with New York Congressman Gerald Nadler, who is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, the highest ranking Democrat. And he had something to say about both the Comey letter that he drafted exonerating Hillary Clinton before he even interviewed her, and about these texts that came to light last night. Listen to what Gerald Nadler had to say.
There is nothing unlawful about Director Comey's sitting down to draft an early statement about the Clinton investigation, nor would it have been unethical to outline his conclusions before the investigation was over if the clear weight of the evidence pointed in one direction. Nor is there anything wrong with FBI agents expressing their private political views via private text message, as Peter Strzok and Lisa Page appear to have done in the 375 text messages we received last night. In fact, department regulations expressly permit that sort of private communication. I've reviewed those text messages. Peter Strzok did not say anything about Donald Trump that the majority of Americans weren't also thinking at the same time.
Now, Peter Strzok said a lot of very vile things about the president in those tweets.
Right.
words we can't use on the radio, and sentiments that just it was vile. And right. Here we have Congressman Nadler saying, well, a majority of Americans, he said, were thinking the same thing. So what's the big deal?
Yeah. Well, the FBI is not supposed to operate how, even if it was the case, the majority of Americans, they should hold themselves at a higher standard.
Yeah. The second clip I'd like to bring to you guys, this is a little bit of an advanced playbook on how the Democrats are hoping they're going to take the president down. They've tried with the collusion angle. That hasn't worked. And now I think this is going to be swing number two at the president. This is Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee at the hearings, and she starts by holding up a paper with the photographs of women that have accused the president of sexual misconduct.
It says that the Trump accusers want a day in court, or at least want to be heard. The president is the chief executive and law enforcement officer of the United States. Therefore, he is an officer of the United States. What intentions do you have to allow these women who are accusing the president of sexual misconduct and have never been heard in terms of a public setting, as many of us on this committee, women on this committee, Democratic women on this committee have asked for this committee to hold a hearing with these women? What does the Department of Justice intend to do in light of the fact that the president is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States of America?
I don't think I have any position on that, Congresswoman. If they file a lawsuit, they're free to do so. It wouldn't be a department matter.
Would you not believe that it's important to give these women a forum to be heard? The Department of Justice, the FBI investigates. I just gave a long litany of the great successes of the Department of Justice.
If there's anything that warrants federal investigation, Congresswoman, we'd certainly look at it.
So can I refer these women? Can we refer these women to the Department of Justice? If they walked up to the Department of Justice, would there be an intake officer, an FBI officer, that would take their complaints?
If somebody wants to file a complaint of a potential federal crime, yes, they can report that to the FBI, or they can write. Anybody can do that at any time.
Well, then let me publicly say to these women, you have one option at this time, is to go to the Department of Justice, as the Deputy Attorney General has just said to us, to be able to file a complaint, and I would encourage them to do that. I would also.
So
who is that?
That was Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat congresswoman from Texas, the 13th, I believe, district there. And this is how they want to get the president caught up in the Me Too moment that's sweeping the country now. And there's debate over whether or not he is guilty in the past of regarding some of the things he said. It brings into question whether or not he has been guilty in the past of some of those things.
Isn't there's a law, or there's some legal provision, I don't know what it's called, that protects a sitting president from lawsuits?
They protect
executive
privilege. Well, they protect, and Abe would be better to answer this, but my understanding is that there is a law that protects the president from being sued over matters that he did in the normal course of his presidency. In other words, he sends a military guy into a battle conflict. The guy gets killed. The family cannot sue him for the death. Or the economy does something and it causes a guy to lose his business.
Yeah,
he can't sue him.
There's something I'd have to read about.
I don't think that there's anything that shields the president from a lawsuit from things that happened. Well, for things that happened before he assumed office, or from things that are ancillary to his office holder. But it's likely that the statute of limitations has run out on many of these claims for these women.
That's assuming it happened, and they never
filed.
Well, they never filed a police report, so there's no such thing as a statute of limitations.
But it hasn't for Roy Moore. The statute of limitations is 40 years.
Yeah.
So I guess you can go back 40 years now.
Well, the Democrats are looking, obviously, from Ms. Lee's comments, they're looking at trying to get a lawsuit going with these women. They want this in a court. They're also demanding hearings in Congress, which they're not going to get because they don't control the committees. But they want hearings in Congress with these women in front of a camera talking about what they allege the president did to them and everything. So this is the next step in the
What purpose does that serve? I know the answer to my own question before I ask it, but I just want to ask you, Steve, what purpose would that serve?
To have them testify? To have the lawsuit?
Yeah. To have these women.
Mm-hmm.
But how many are there?
Well, there's 19 that allege over various times, I think, that they have been.
Did he rape them?
No.
We're talking about President Trump.
He didn't rape them?
No. No one's alleging that.
Well, let me tell you something. I'll be careful about how I say this. Donald Trump was a playboy.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Billionaire. Right?
Yes.
There were probably women throwing themselves at him for most of his adult life. And he pretty well probably, I'm talking about up until he married Melania, and he seems to have, the last decade or so, pretty well settled down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As that goes. You know, I'm talking about the playboy lifestyle part of him. So, you know, you could probably come up with 100 women who say something like this. This is going to be a hard thing for our country to sort out, I think, because I mean I read the news, and you can't refresh your page without another story about somebody accused of sexual harassment or sexual abuse. And I'm not saying it doesn't obviously it. You don't know whether these stories are true now or not. There's got to be some evidence against somebody.
What we're seeing is this has been bottled up in our society for a long time, decades, where men have been able to get away.
Well, probably in many since cases. The dawn of civilization.
Well, certainly, probably. But the power structure, the way it is, and I don't know. You can't tell how many of these are frivolous or how many of these are true. But for the longest time. And you saw it, for example, when the women came forward to accuse Bill Clinton, and Hillary jumped in.
He was accused of rape.
He was.
Yeah.
One or two.
But Hillary, you saw her jump in and try to rush to his defense, shaming these women.
Yes.
And so right now, the Harvey Weinstein thing just kind of took the lid off, and now everybody feels that finally some women who have been abused, and believe me, there are more than we...
I get that, and I agree with that. It is good that this is all coming out in the open, because it does need to stop, and it needs to be a change of attitude by men towards women, for the most part. It's men towards women, although you've got every day, too, these 20-something-year-old teachers... Women teachers. Every day there's a story across the country about a 25, 27, 23-year-old female teacher having sex with a 15-year-old boy.
The last one came up across my desk just in school, an hour ago, and she met this kid at a church. She was working at a church.
Right. I mean, it's every day and somewhere.
We're a very sexually dysfunctional society. Satan, that's where he went from day one. He went to the sexuality, and that's why
I'm just saying that this is going to be
the best
half the men in America because you're going to have people. I guarantee you, all these sports stars.
Jose Canseco got into a lot of trouble this.
All these sports stars, these Hollywood stars.
I think the best possible outcome we could have of this is that we come to a place in this country where women are free to speak about abuse that they have suffered, and that they are free to call out the abusers, and that there is some kind of a forum in which we arbitrate and find out what's true and what's not.
Well, we have to have some kind of due process.
That's the word.
And it's not always going to take place in the legal setting.
Right.
Because people wait 40 years to accuse folks of things. But
how do you go back and disprove
that? We cannot, as a society, also, this is on the other hand, be firing people left and right and ruining their livelihoods and their reputation that they've spent their whole life building based on a mere accusation. Yep. There has to be more to the accusation, such as evidence, corroboration, etc. But we can't just be willy-nilly sending people away from their job that they've worked 30 years to build up.
And their family.
And their family.
Now, a lot of these celebrities, these famous people, are admitting to it.
Right.
But now they're admitting to it when there's just so much evidence, it's overwhelming. Matt Lauer, for example.
Right.
Charlie Rose, for example. Harvey Weinstein, for another example. But I'm just saying that there's so much of this that goes on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly endorse Walker's point, which is the due process. We will reach a place where the offenses of 40 years ago have been aired, and hopefully that these things can be taken up in a more timely manner. So we are talking about, you know, hey, last week this guy did this to me, and I immediately told my friend and went to the police or whatever.
So Sheila Jackson Lee, the Democrat here that we heard from a few moments ago, talking to the Attorney General, Attorney General's assistant, Rosenstein. Basically, she wants to have these some of these women come up in front of a congressional panel and say Donald Trump touched my rear end 27 years ago at the restaurant in downtown Manhattan, and I want justice.
The cynical me says that Sheila Jackson Lee is more being a political animal than she is a social justice
lawyer. Does she want Bill Clinton, his accusers, to come forward?
I haven't heard of her asking that.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
I haven't heard of her ask for that.
I'm just saying, it serves no good purpose to, like the Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General said, if you got a problem, go file charges.
Well, and it also has to be for the AG to get involved, or the Justice Department. It has to be a federal crime.
But she knows that. She knows that.
This isn't about justice for these women, for Sheila Jackson Lee. It's about getting rid of the president.
Right. Yes, exactly. I wish they would just say that.
Yeah, well.
I wish Sheila Jackson Lee would just say, listen, I don't care what president did or didn't do. I don't care. I hate him. I want him gone. I want him impeached. So I don't need any evidence about anything. Put me down for impeachment.
Yeah.
Just say that and save us all the grandstanding and the hiding behind things and just say it like it is. You're listening to Today's Issues. We've got 1 minute left, Steve.
Let's do a snowflake. This is from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, snowflake.
Speaking of sexual harassment, at the University of Tennessee in Nashville, you can be charged. They are saying that if you whistle in a suggestive manner, that is sexual harassment.
And you mean like the construction workers?
Yeah.
With women walking down the street? That's sexual harassment?
You're fired. You're expelled at the University of Tennessee. Employees can get fired and students can be expelled for that. Now, I don't know who does that anymore, really.
No, I don't either. But it was popular there for a long time.
It's there.
Huh?
It is there.
You whistle that now, you get sued.
Yeah.
Right there.
You know, at the rate we're going, we don't even need campus standards. You just accuse and the person will be fired.
Actually, we should just have a line where men line up and say, just go ahead and find me, fire me, whip me, do whatever you need to do, because I'm sure somewhere in my past you're going to find something that I don't
believe in catcalling or whistling at women like you just said. I'm just saying in movies in the 50s, those kinds of things were common, whistling at attractive women. All right, so we are done for the day, folks. We appreciate you listening. Thank you, Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure.
Brent, appreciate you doing your part over there on the board. Walker?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your contribution. And Fred's, have a great day, folks. Keep listening to AFR.